Certainly great to see everyone out this morning. If you're following along in your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, and verse 6. Yet for us, there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came, and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things come, and through whom we live. Now, there was three professionals one time who were sitting around a table talking about what the oldest profession was out there. The doctor said, well, the Bible says that God took a rib out of Adam, to make woman. Since this clearly requires surgery, then the oldest profession is medicine. The engineer looked at the doctor and said, no, the Bible also says that God created the whole world out of void and chaos. To do that, God must surely have been an engineer. So engineering is the oldest profession around. The politician smiled and leaned forward and said, ah, but who do you think created the chaos? Now, all the problems in the world are the results of man. Now, politicians do carry chaos to a high art. But if we're going to escape the chaos of the world, we need to fully believe and seek God. In Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, and He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. It's funny, talking in class this morning, a person was mentioned that went to church who said, well, I don't really believe in God, but I don't want to take any chances, so I come to church. Now, that person was not practicing Hebrews 11:6. We must earnestly seek Him. We must believe in Him, that He exists and that He rewards those who follow Him. Do you want to be pleasing to God? Have faith in Him, believe in Him, believe that He exists and wants to love us? I think most of us do. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here today. And there's three things we can do to ensure that we have that close relationship with God. The first thing we need to do is glorify God. You know, we often pray, and Jesus opens up the Lord's Prayer with that, where He glorifies God, and He asks for His will to be done. And we said in previous lessons, if we'll do that and put God in that proper frame and perspective in our mind, then our prayers will have more faith in them, because we know and really focus on how God can fulfill that for us. He's listening, and He wants to hear from us. In Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, as the song says. Be committed in life so as to be pleasing to Him. Would anyone on the street know that we're a Christian if they met us? From our speech, from our word usage, that we don't talk like the rest of the world, those type things. Do we shine our light to the people around us? We need to glorify God and take ourselves off the pedestal. I'm sure we all watch some TV programs. There's Dancing with the Stars, there's American Idol, there's Skating with Celebrities, Survivor. All these different shows out there and reality shows. All of these shows and more that they have out there, because they grow by leaps and bounds just every year, it's all about me. The winner. Who's going to climb to the top of that heap? The superior one. And that's how the world thinks. They don't think of God and how important He is in their life. Now, life is not about you. It's not about me. It's not about the other person. It's about our Father in heaven. You know how you make God laugh? He grabs something and say, this is mine. Everything we have comes from God, and He created it. It's never mine, it's never yours, but it is borrowed from God, and He allows us to have it. our verse again. Yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things come and for whom we live. So we live for Him. So we glorify God and then in whom we live. No matter how great we think we are or what we hear from others, we owe it all to God. When we pray and thank Him, I can hear it in some people. Well, I had the brains to go out and make this business and make this money or do this or that. It's me who did this and it's me who did that. Well, who is me? Who gave me the brain? Who gave me the talent? Who gave, you know, you or me or whatever the ability to do it and the chance to do it and allowed it to happen? If it's not God, then who is it? Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Or consider 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Give God the glory in our lives and we'll be rewarded as a first step. We need to do good not only for ourselves, but also for God as His royal priesthood, as emissaries to those who are lost of His will. We're here for Him, to bring glory to Him, to point people to His way, and to let your light shine before men. Secondly, we need to become like God. And I'm not talking about the arrogant sense of it, you know. Got a lot of people run around and act like little demigods. And a lot of people think they are gods in some instances. But it might be interesting to note that in Matthew 5, verse 48, Matthew wrote, "Be perfect, therefore, as your Father, Heavenly Father, is perfect." The word comes from the word telos in the Greek, and it means an end goal or limit, and also the difference between a child and an adult. So when you read that verse, you're thinking, "Well, gee, I can't be perfect like God. I can't be that perfect. I'm just not made that way. And that's why Jesus had to come and save me, because I can't be perfect." Well, it's not talking about perfection in that way. It's talking about that end goal or limit. Where are you headed in life? You know, for many of us, we've achieved a retirement. We worked all our life for retirement. Some of us are still working towards that goal. Some of us are working towards other goals. But where are we headed in life? What is the most important thing to us? The 401k, the stocks and bonds, the Social Security, our possessions? Or is it God Himself? Do we have the same goal as God? Are we seeking the same things God wants? It also means the difference between a child and an adult. Growing up from being a babe in Christ to being a full adult, wanting God's will to be done. Again, coming from the Lord's Prayer where He said that. So, if our goal or end is to serve and worship God, then we're not only perfect, as the verse says, but we have grown to spiritual adulthood when our mind is synced with God. In 1 Peter 1:14 and 16, as an obedient child, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." And in Hebrews 12:14, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. That reminds me of another verse that we talk about. If we can't forgive, then God can't forgive us. And if God can't forgive us, then we don't have interest in the heaven. But it says right here in Hebrews 12:14, if we can't be holy, then we won't see the Lord. So there's a call for us to separate ourselves from this world. Not in the physical sense. We're not going to create a little compound like some cults, you know, do and things like that. But separate in the way we live our lives and the words we say and the thoughts we think and everything. We're seeking the holiness of the Lord. And that is our goal. we're called on to be like our Father, and the only way it will happen is to basically hang out with the Father. Well, that's probably modern terminology, to hang out with someone. We wouldn't think about hanging out with God in that sense, but in a sense, that's what it's talking about. How do we hang out with God? We talk to Him. We read His Word. We need to spend time with Him. Not only time here in the assembly as we group worship and learn from God's Word, but quiet time, quality time. Like the Bible says, go into your closet and pray. Shut yourself off and pray for the things that this world needs and the things that we need. Pray to visit and love God and to commune with Him. That is our goal. That is how we become holy. By communing with God. I think everyone knows Lily Tomlin, comedian, done a lot of things. She once said, why is it when we talk to God, we're said to be praying, but when God talks to us, we're schizophrenic? You know, someone hears God talking, we kind of worry about it, about, you know, what is that? But God does talk to us through His Word here. Now, we shouldn't be hearing voices, but we should listen to His voice written in these words. God is interested in you personally. He's interested in me. And He was interested enough in every person who ever lived on this planet to want them to be saved. We know that from John 3:16. But not all answer the call. In Matthew 7:11, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? We pray to God, and we know how powerful He is, and know that He loves us. And we know from communing with Him, and talking with Him, and listening to His Word, all that He does for His people, He will meet our needs, He will take care of us, and He will usher us into heaven when that time comes. Now, I think sometimes children understand this better than an adult. They're so open and honest in talking to God. Here's just a few prayers that people have overheard children pray. Dear God, did you mean for the giraffe to look like that, or was it an accident? Dear God, thank you for my baby brother, for what I prayed for with the puppy. Dear God, please send me a pony. I never asked for anything before. You can look it up. Dear God, I want to be just like my dad when I get big, but just not with so much hair all over. Children talk to God with the ease of conversing with their parents, and we can talk to God in that same way today. We don't need eloquent words. We don't need to be able to write some thesis to God. God knows the words of a simple person. He knows the words of an eloquent person, but He wants to hear from us, and He wants to hear from us in our own voice, a loving voice towards Him. And He'll extend that love towards us. Now, today we learned that we must be committed to God in several ways. We must glorify Him. We must become like Him. And we must commune with Him. Commitment is not easy, but we must, according to the Scriptures, to share the rewards that God grants for us. No task of being a Christian is easy. We've all known, we've all tried it, we've all stumbled and scraped our knees and then did, you know, everything that people do as Christians. But we get up and we keep walking towards Him. Everyone probably knows that Pavarotti passed away this past week and he had his funeral yesterday. But he said, when I was a boy, my father, a baker, introduced me to the wonders of song. He urged me to work very hard to develop my voice. Arrigo Pola, a professional tenor in my hometown of Modena, Italy, took me as a pupil. I also enrolled in a teacher's college. Upon graduating, I asked my father, shall I be a teacher or a singer? Luciano, my father replied, if you try to sit on two chairs, you will fall between them. For life, you must choose one chair. I chose one. It took 7 years of study and frustration before I made my first professional appearance. It took another 7 to reach the Metropolitan Opera. And now, I think whether it's laying bricks, writing a book, whatever we choose, we should give ourselves to it. Commitment. That is the key. Choose one chair. You know, Pavarotti would have stopped before that 7th year at each stage. We wouldn't know him today. But he kept committed and he kept going. You know, his commitment is known by being one of the best voices in opera. What will our commitment in life be remembered by others? What would they say we were committed to in life as we lived our life? Another lady heard this beautiful violin player, and she went up to him after he performed and said, "I would give my life to be able to play like you." He turned to her and said, "I did." Commitment comes through striving and working and not giving up, but keep climbing that hill. And when you slide down, you climb up that hill again. You climb up that hill to reach God, to know Him, to know of His love for us. And each step we take closer to Him, we're a little more committed. We have a little more joy in our hearts. We have a little more confidence in the things that are going to happen to us. And we're a little bit more in line in thinking with God. In 1 Corinthians 8:6 this morning, we concluded the verse, "Through whom all things come and through whom we live." We live at the pleasure of God, not ourselves, not anyone. Yeah, He'll allow people to go out and do their own thing. He'll allow them to disrespect Him. He'll allow them to live a life apart from Him, never ever giving Him the glory for the things He's given them. But as much as He allows, there is an end to that, an unfortunate end. And it's unfortunate that so many are not going to take those steps or go on that path to walk with God. But hopefully today, we can keep going and take those steps and keep pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps to walk a little closer with God as we each and every day goes by.